This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, as everybody here knows full well, yesterday was Christmas Day. But you know, our culture will now move on to other things. For example, we have the upcoming New Year's Eve celebration, and many people will have the idea of party on their minds, but the last thing on their minds that evening will probably be Christmas. Our stores will also be taking down their Christmas decorations. In fact, our many homes will also be taking down Christmas decorations, except for those of us who are too lazy to take them down right after Christmas. You know, Christmas is often focused on in our stores right after Halloween, but as soon as Christmas is over, it's forgotten again until the day after Halloween the next year. However, Christ's church never ever really forgets Christmas Day. Oh, even though we will take down our tree here at church, and even though we will take down our nativity scene, the promise of Christmas is something that we will ponder all year long, because the promise of Christmas is found all over Holy Scripture. Simply put, the promise of Christmas is that God would send His Son to be born of a virgin to save His people from their sins. Even today's reading from Romans chapter 4 makes no sense apart from Christmas Day. Paul writes, "The promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abram's offspring." This verse has absolutely no meaning if Jesus was not born of the Virgin Mary. So let's go on to try to understand what Paul is saying to us here today. First of all, what is the promise that Paul talks about? And what does this promise have to do with Abraham? Well, if you read Genesis chapter 12, you will learn about a time in this world's history that took place after the Great Flood and after the Tower of Babel event. It was a time in history when all the people of the world were once again unbelievers who worshiped false gods. But that all changed when God saved a man named Abraham by calling him to repentance and faith in God's promised Savior. In fact, God actually told Abraham that this Savior would be one of his own descendants. Listen to what God says to Abraham in Genesis 12. He says, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you." Now, did you hear the promise? God told Abraham that all peoples on earth would be blessed through him. As we read the rest of Scripture, we find out that God was promising Abraham and you that one of Abraham's descendants would be the Savior of all sinners. For instance, listen to what Paul writes about this very thing in Galatians chapter 3. He writes, "The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So, those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Paul then goes on in Galatians to talk about Jesus, the object of our faith. Paul tells us how Jesus bore the curse of our sin for us when he died on the cross. And then later, in Galatians chapter 4, Paul points us back to Christmas Day when he writes the following. He says, When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of woman, born under law, to redeem those under law. You see how Christmas fits into all of this? This takes us back to today's reading from Romans 4, where Paul writes, "The promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring." Now, who are Abraham's offspring? Well, Paul makes a very important point here. He stresses that Abraham's offspring are not merely those who are physical descendants from Abraham. Those, of course, are the Jews. Those are the ones who are of the law. But, according to Paul, Abraham's offspring also includes you and me. That's right, us Gentiles are children of Abraham because of our baptism into Christ. Paul also addresses this issue in Galatians chapter 3. Listen to what he says. "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." In fact, Paul goes on to argue that Jews who are physically descended from Abraham are not actually his children if they do not have faith in Christ. Whereas Gentiles, you and me, who are not physically descended from Abraham, we are his spiritual children if we do have faith in Christ. Now at this point, we need to understand why God chose Abraham in the first place. There's two reasons, really. First, God chose Abraham because He intended to use his family line to bring the Savior into the world. That's why Matthew's gospel begins with a genealogy of all things. Matthew shows how you can trace the Virgin Mary all the way back to Abraham. Jesus was a descendant of Abraham because his virgin mother was a descendant of Abraham. The next reason God chose Abraham is that He intended he and his descendants, the nation of Israel, to be witnesses to the other nations so that all people could be saved through faith in Christ. In other words, the purpose of Abraham and his descendants was that God chose them to be a light for the other nations, leading them to Jesus. But sadly, there were many Jews in Paul's day who got this whole thing messed up. Many Jews in Paul's day thought that God had chosen them because they were less sinful and more worthy of God's love than the Gentiles. But you know, sometimes we Christians are guilty of the same thing. We forget that we are Christians by pure grace. Sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking that God loves us because we're not quite as bad as some people and because we deserve His love somehow. I actually met a person in this community who said, "God will always bless America because there's a lot of Christians here. And of course, we're better than other people in the world who don't believe in Jesus. That's why God loves us." Wrong. We're just as sinful as everybody else. God did not choose us and save us because somehow we were lovable and worthy. He chose us and saved us by pure grace, just as God chose and saved Abraham and his descendants by pure grace. You see, God's promise is that Abraham's descendant, Jesus, would bless all peoples, all nations, Jesus died for all sinners so that all might be saved. In other words, we're all equally sinful, and therefore Jesus died for all of us. It's all grace. Of course, that leads to a question. If it's all grace, then why are some not saved in the end? The Jews wrongly thought that, well, the reason some are not saved is they're not as good as us. No, says Paul, that has nothing to do with it. The reason that some are not saved is that some refuse to believe what God's Word says about their sin. Some refuse to believe what God's Word says about their Savior. Here's the irony. The very Jews who thought they were saved because they were better than other people were actually on the way to hell because they denied what God's Word says about their sin and they denied what God's Word said about their Savior. The very Jews who thought they were secure in their salvation because they thought they were good people were the very ones that Jesus so desperately tried to save because he knew that as long as they continued to think that way, they were on their way to hell. So even though Jesus was born to save all sinners, those who refuse to repent and trust in Christ reject that free gift of salvation. Let me give you an example of how this works. For instance, some of us received Christmas presents on Christmas Eve and we opened them. Some of us were given gifts on Christmas Day and we opened them. And of course, a few of us couldn't wait, so we opened our gifts several days before Christmas. But think about this. What if we refused to open those gifts? Even though they had our names on them? What if we left them under the tree where they collected dust all year long? Worse yet, what if we picked up all of our gifts, the wrapping paper still intact, and then threw them in the dumpster? Who would be crazy enough to do that, Pastor? But think about it. We're the crazy ones. Because every time we sin, every time we ignore the Lord, we're taking the gift of His Son and throwing it in the dumpster. You see, that's why we need Jesus. And that's why we need to realize that faith is a gift. Left to ourselves and our sinful nature, we would always reject the gift. Therefore, God works in us repentance and faith so that we will be constantly running back to Jesus in the midst of our struggle with sin, realizing how precious a gift He really is. That's right, even faith itself is a gift from God. You see, Scripture teaches that we're by nature spiritually dead. Without God's gift of faith, we don't take our sins seriously, nor do we see any big need for Jesus. However, because God loves us, His Holy Spirit works through baptism and through the preaching and teaching of God's Word to convict us of sin and to give us new hearts that trust in Jesus. So, if you agree with God's Word that you're a sinner who deserves hell, and if you also agree with God's Word that you're forgiven and holy in God's sight because of Jesus, then guess what? God has worked a miracle in your heart. That doesn't mean we believers do not struggle with sin. That doesn't mean the devil doesn't tempt us to throw God's gift in the garbage. We do that constantly when we sin. But God is constantly convicting us so that we realize, what have I done? I shouldn't be throwing this gift in the dumpster. I should be clinging to it with all my might. And so even though we're guilty of throwing Christ in the dumpster more times than we can imagine, God is constantly bringing us back to that dumpster and helping us to pick up those gifts and embrace them again. God's Holy Spirit keeps us living in repentance and faith. In today's reading, Paul says that God gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Now, God promised Abraham that one of his descendants would be the Savior of the world. But remember what situation they were in? Abraham and his wife remained childless all the way up to the time when they approached 100 years of age. But in spite of this, Abraham trusted that God would keep his promise, and God did. God gave them a child in their old age. Paul gives us this example to point out that God has worked an even greater miracle when the Holy Spirit created faith in your dead heart and in my dead heart. Because God has given life to the spiritually dead, we are now here today confessing our sins and trusting in Jesus as our Savior. The whole reason we are able to rejoice in the Christmas gospel is because God has given life to the spiritually dead. Now in today's reading, Paul also says that God considered Abraham to be righteous because Abraham trusted God's promise of a Savior. In other words, Abraham was righteous not because of who he was and what he did. Instead, Abraham was righteous because he trusted in who Jesus is and what he would do for him. In fact, even Abraham's ability to believe was a gift, and so Abraham couldn't boast about that either. And so it's all about faith, so that it's all about grace. Now, what's important to understand is that this miracle is not only true for Abraham, it's true for you and me as well. In today's reading, Paul writes, "These words were written not for Abraham alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification." Now do you see why Christ Church remembers Christmas all year long? Jesus was born for one reason and one reason only. He was born so that he could die and conquer death for you. So Christmas and Good Friday and Easter all go together. In closing, you are children of Abraham because God has given you faith in Jesus as your Savior, just as God gave Abraham faith in Jesus as his Savior. And just as God used Abraham to be a witness to others about Jesus so that more sinners could be saved through faith in Christ, in the same way, God will also use you and me to be witnesses to others about Jesus so that more in our world today can receive salvation in Christ. My friends, God's promise to Abraham was fulfilled when Jesus was born. God's promise to Abraham was also fulfilled when you were born again in baptism, where you were clothed with Christ and became one of Abraham's children. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.